to worship you. I live to worship you.
Amen. Ain't you glad you got a God that's always available? Amen. Is there a junior church today? No junior church today. Stand with me all over this house as we get ready to turn to the word of the Lord. Amen. I'm excited to be ministering today to the greatest group of people that I know, Breaking Bread Apostolic Church. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise today once again for all of our visitors. We're so thankful that you're here with us. Amen. And we're excited that you're here, and we pray that this service is a blessing to you on this holiday weekend. If you're able and you're willing, stand with me. We're going to turn to the word of the Lord in honor of God's word. If you'll turn with me to the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. We'll be reading verse 1 through 14. 2 Kings 5, we'll be reading verse 1 through 14. If you're there, you can shout yes. Amen. If you do not have a Bible, amen, the text is provided for you up on the screens to the right and the left of me. Please see us before you leave today, and we'll make sure that you have a Bible. Every home needs the Word of God in it. Amen. And we'll make sure that you have a Bible today before you leave this place. Amen. 2 Kings, the 5th chapter and the first verse. I want to share with you what the Lord has placed on my heart for this body today. Amen. I do feel passionate that we're going to hear from the Lord today. I feel God's going to speak to us. Amen. The book of 2 Kings, the 5th chapter and the first verse, a very familiar passage of Scripture. I'm sure many of you have read it many times, but hopefully today we can extract something from a new perspective and let the Lord speak to us through His Word today. Verse 1 says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master. He was honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor." How many know, but there's always a but. "He was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper." He was a leper. That's a big but. But he was a leper. "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid." Everybody say, "a little maid." "A little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said unto Naaman's wife, her mistress, she said, 'Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria. If the prophet here was just like the prophet where I came from,'" that's layman's terms for what this little maid said to Naaman's wife, "'would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his Lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.'" Verse 5 says, The king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter." He tells Naaman, go see this prophet. "I'm going to send a letter to the king of Israel." And Naaman departs, and he took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes. He was angry, and he said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. The king of Israel took offense that the king of Syria had sent a man into the land of Israel to be healed. And he says, am I God that I can heal this man of his leprosy? Why are you seeking an argument with me? And it was so that when the prophet Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of the prophet Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the river Jordan 7 times. Thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Naaman was wroth. Naaman was angry, and Naaman went away, and Naaman said, behold, I thought that surely this prophet would come out to me and stand in front of me and call on the name of the Lord his God, and he would strike his hand over the place, and I would recover from my leprosy. And Naaman continues on his little rant, and he says, are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus, are not they better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and he went away in a rage. And his servants came near unto Naaman, and they spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, just go and wash and be clean? Then he went down. Verse 14, he went down. Naaman went down. How many know we got to go down? There's a whole nother sermon in that right there. Naaman went down. Naaman went down, and Naaman dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan River, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And everybody say it with me. He was clean. And he was clean. Amen. Sometimes it may seem unusual what God asks of us, but we got to get it down in our mind and down in our spirit today. God always honors obedience. God always honors obedience. I want to preach to you for just a few moments on this holiday weekend on this subject. No longer a leper. No longer a leper. Before we're seated today, can we collectively magnify the name of the Lord together? Come on, give him a hand clap of praise today all over this house. Hallelujah. Amen. No longer a leper. The Lord bless you. You may be seated today. When it comes to war, generals and admirals are always carefully considering the field of battle. Can I tell you, when it comes to being a child of God, we must always consider the field of battle also. But wars require a certain strategy. Generals and admirals are always carefully considering the field of battle. And it's these leaders, when it comes to war, that must consider many facts if they want to achieve the victory that they desire. Different times require different weapons because there are different types of technology. How many know we don't fight wars like we used to fight wars? But different times, Sister Gail, require different approaches, and different technology comes along, and different terrains require a different approach. Every battle is different. Tell your neighbor, every battle is different. Every battle is different. And the war tactics that worked in World War I would not have worked in Vietnam or in Afghanistan. Amen. They simply would not have worked. It was different times. It was a different place. It required a different strategy. And the things that worked in World War I against Adolf Hitler would not have worked in Vietnam or in the Afghanistan wars. But can I tell this body today that one thing that does not change with time when it comes to war is that soldiers must be able to trust one another. Soldiers must be able to trust their leadership. Amen. And it's the same way in the body of Christ today. Our soldiers got to be able to lean upon one another. Our soldiers got to know that our brothers and our sisters in Christ are going to lock together with them when it comes to fighting these spiritual battles. Amen. And one thing that has not changed, one thing that will never change, is we must trust one another. Amen. And we must lean upon one another, and we must be one another's keeper. And one thing that never changes in war is that soldiers must be able to trust one another. They must be able to trust their leaders. And when it comes, church, to spiritual warfare, can I tell you today, your victory is dependent upon one thing, and that's your obedience. Your obedience. How many know if a war admiral or a war general tells one of his captains to go in from a certain direction, Brother Eric, they mean he needs to go in from that direction. And he does it for a reason. Amen. And let me tell you something. One thing that is crucial to your success is that you must learn. If you're going to go all the way with the Lord, it's going to require obedience. It's going to require obedience. Now, obedience is not a fun term. I don't get everybody jumping up and down, Brother Michael, when I talk about obedience, especially my children. All parents in here can shout, yeah, Lord. But one thing that's going to get you there, Brother Bry, is obedience. Amen. You cannot serve a God that you will not obey. I'm going to say that again because I only got a little bit of an amen over here in this corner. And I got it. Listen, I'm refreshed. Don't make me preach all day. I'll preach better if you help me, all right? One thing it's going to take from you if you're going to make it to heaven is you cannot serve a God that you will not obey. That's right, amen. You can't serve a God that you're not willing to obey today. One thing is, your victory, your success, your roadmap to heaven is dependent upon whether or not you will obey what God speaks into your spirit. Because to obey is better than to sacrifice. Come on, all the sin that you have ever seen can be washed off of us through the watery grave of baptism. We can come to church 5 times a week instead of 3. You can attend every prayer meeting you want to, but I come to tell you, you're still bound for hell if you don't learn that you got to learn to obey God and obey what He says to you and what He speaks into your life. Clap your hands unto the Lord if that's helping you today. Come on, it might not get you shouting, but it'll get you to heaven today. You got to learn to obey Him. You got to learn to trust Him. Amen. And we learn this from Naaman the leper. My Lord, you can learn something from anybody. You just got to be willing to be observant. You can learn something. Every man is your superior in some way, shape, or form, in that you should learn of them. You should learn something from everybody that you meet. We learn this from this leper named Naaman. Amen. We learn that, of course, his flesh rose up. Of course, he didn't first want to be obedient to what the man of God spoke, Sister Melissa. Of course, his attitude showed up. His anger showed up. Come on, not only is he already out of his comfort zone because the Syrians are at war with the Israelites. And now here he is. He's done traveled a mighty long way just to see this prophet. And he's already shook some stuff off. And then he shows up at the prophet's house and out comes a servant and he's insulted. And he says, What? Am I not? I'm standing here with my horses and my chariots. Am I not important enough that the man of God can get up off of his couch and come out and see about me? He gonna send his little servant to speak to me? Let me tell you what the Lord was doing. The Lord was humbling Naaman to prepare him for his miracle. The next time you find yourself down in the valley, I want you to open your eyes and I want you to lift your hands towards heaven and I want you to say, Lord, go ahead and humble me. Go ahead and get me ready. I know why you're doing it. You're getting me ready for my miracle. The Lord was getting Naaman ready for his miracle. But his pride was standing in the way, Brother Bo. His pride was blocking. How many know your pride will block your miracle? Your pride is a miracle thief. And here this man is. He's out here, and he's a mighty man of valor. And he didn't come to Israel riding on some little donkey. He's got horses and he's got chariots. And he's got people that are under his authority. But he shows up at the man of God's house and Elisha says, go out there and tell that man just to go over and wash into the River Jordan. Matter of fact, I'll pick the dirtiest river there is in Israel to tell him to go wash in because he's used to clean water in Damascus. So you tell him, go humble himself, go get his pride out of the way, and go tell him to go wash in the River Jordan, and he can get his miracle, but he's got to get his pride out of the way. I can hear the Holy Ghost telling some of us today, you can get your miracle, but you got to get your pride out of the way first. You can get your miracle, but you got to go through the process first. Come on, somebody, you ain't going to get everything that God has for you until God prepares you to receive it. Until God prepares you to receive it, we got to learn obedience unto God. And the prophet, look, we read in this text, and when we read this text, more times than not, our discussion or our attention usually directs towards the faith of the little maid from Israel. But today, I want to talk to you more about Naaman than I do this little maid. Yeah, she had some faith. Her faith is recognizable. And it was her faith that brought the whole thing about. You know, look, when she was given the chance, yes, she used her faith wisely. How many know, it don't do you no good to have faith in God if you ain't never going to use it. Boy, that'll hit some folks been in the church for 50 years that don't want to see any new converts come on into the church. That'll hit some folks. Come on, it ain't going to do you no good to have faith that you ain't willing to use today. You got to get down in the trenches. You got to get down where people are hurting. You got to get down where people are broken. People are dirty. People are saying, I'm unclean. I'm unclean. And you say, come on in here and we can get you clean. It ain't going to do you no good to have faith that you ain't willing to use. You got to be willing to use your faith. And this little maid, she says, oh, to God. Listen, would to God if the prophets here were like the prophets that we got over in Israel, he wouldn't have this leprosy. He wouldn't be unclean. He wouldn't be going about everywhere yelling unclean if he had the prophets that we had. You see, I was carried here for such a time as this. So I could tell you that there's a prophet in Israel, and if he wants what he needs, he can go over there and get it. Can I tell you, you got a man of God standing in front of you today telling you God's got exactly what you need today. If you want it, you just got to get your pride out of the way. You got to get up off of your duff today, and you got to be willing to go get what God says he will give you. Clap your hands and magnify the Lord today. Hallelujah. We always talk about this little maid's faith, and it's worthy of discussion. And we know that she had faith, and she used her faith wisely, and she spoke the right thing at the right time. How many know it's important that we speak the right thing at the right time? You can say the right thing at the wrong time. Huh? How many believe that today? You can say the right thing at the wrong time. And you can say, look, but you ain't going to get the same results as saying the right thing at the right time. And this little maid, she used her faith wisely. She spoke the right thing at the right time. She saw a need. She spoke up out of faith. She began to magnify her God. She began to tell Naaman and his wife and his servants, listen, if you had the man of God that I had over here, you could get what God has in store for you. He don't have to stay the way he is. Somebody tell your neighbor, you don't have to stay the way you are. You don't have to stay the way you are. This little maid looked right at him. Here she is out of place. Here she is. Look now imagine the challenge that stands before this little maid. Not only was she carried away into the land of Syria who was warring against Israel, but now she's got to speak to a pagan people about her God. Man. How intimidated are we when we're in the grocery store and we know somebody's hurting and we can't even tell them about Jesus? But this little maid is in a faraway land. She done been carried away into, and she steps out by faith, Brother Paul, and she says, if my God were here like he is in Israel, you'd be seeing the miraculous right now. Hallelujah. Man, you talking about stepping out on faith. You talking about a word fitly spoken. You're talking about somebody who had the boldness of God in their life. She wasn't shy and timid, Brother Ken. She opened her mouth and she let her testimony come out. And she said, let me tell you something. He can get what God has in store for him. Man, the next time you're around some poor broken soul who's hurting and going through it in their life and they don't know what they're going to do and they don't know what tomorrow's going to hold, all you got to do is tell them, let me tell you about a man named Jesus. Let me tell you about an apostolic church that can set you on the right path. Let me tell you about how you can be buried with him in weakness and you can raise with him in power. You can be filled with his spirit and God can give you direction for your life. We got to open our mouth. We got to say the right things at the right time. Naaman, now listen, Naaman, he was already feeling the pressures of his military rank. How many feel the pressures in life? About half y'all lying. Because probably everybody in this room is feeling the pressures of life. The pressures of work. The pressures of busyness. The pressures of the day's activities. The pressures of the plumbing backing up. The pressures of people at work that are making trouble for us. You name them, the pressures just keep on coming. Naaman was already feeling the pressures of his military rank. And now on top of all of this, he's dealing with leprosy. And even though the Bible describes Naaman as a mighty man of valor, all his might, every bit of the might that he had could not save him from the dreaded disease that he had already been diagnosed with. How many know sometimes life is just too much to handle? And you need somebody to handle it for you. You need somebody to cast your cares upon. You need somebody to bear your burden sometime. You need somebody to tell you everything's going to be all right sometime. You need a child of God in your life to walk with you on the mountain and in the valley, through the river and through the woods, in the midst of the desert. You need a child of God that'll stand beside you and say, everything's going to be all right. Just keep your eyes up on Jesus. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Amen. And all of this weight is upon Naaman, and he's feeling all of this weight. And even though he's a mighty man of valor, it doesn't matter how much valor, doesn't matter how mighty he was, he can't handle, he can't do anything about this disease called leprosy, which was surely going to take his life. There was division between Syria and Israel. So Naaman's maid was taking a risk when she even recommended that the God of Israel could meet Naaman's need. Huh? How many know there's war with the world and the church? How many know you take the risk of people calling you intolerant when you tell them you go to church? Huh? You take the risk of them calling you this or calling you that because you go to church. But you got to open your mouth and you got to stand in the boldness of the Holy Ghost and you got to tell them about Jesus Christ and the difference that he can make in your life. There was already division between Syria and Israel. She was risking her life by opening her mouth and telling her master that the Lord of Israel could heal him. Let me tell you something. The truth is, church, sometimes you may have a good reason not to like somebody. Come on, the truth is, you may have a good reason why you got hard feelings at somebody. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, we got to rise above this flesh. We got to rise above this flesh because this healing that I'm talking about, come on, this saving that I'm talking about, the Lord didn't just reserve it for you and yours. He reserved it for anybody who would call on his name. I'm talking about the broken. I'm talking about the hurting. I'm talking about the lost. I'm talking about the dirty. I'm talking about it don't matter what they've done. God can forgive them of their sins and wash them in his blood today. Sometimes you might have a good reason. Somebody might have cut you deeply, but you got to love them in Christ Jesus. You got to love them in Christ Jesus, and you got to raise and you got to rise above your flesh. You got to put your personal feelings aside, and you got to share the love of God with people that are hurting, people that are broken, people sometimes that you don't even think they deserve the grace of God. You got to share the love of God with them. You got to love your enemies if you're going to be a child of God. Come on, somebody. You got to love your, you got to pray for your, you got to pray for those that despitefully use you if you're going to be a child of God today. Come on, somebody. You got to shake off your flesh today. You got to raise above, you got to rise above some stuff in your life. Amen. It's not for the faint of heart. You got to be willing to subdue some stuff in your flesh if you're going to be a child of God. Amen. The truth is, sometimes you got good reason. You've been hurt. You got good reason. Come on, somebody has done something to you, but we got to rise above that and we got to share the love of God with people. This young maid, she shares her faith. She says the right thing at the right time. She tells Naaman about Elisha the prophet. And because she shares her faith, Naaman immediately packs up his stuff and he heads to see the prophet. Now I can imagine the hope. I can imagine the excitement that Naaman must have been feeling as he approached Elisha's house. Here he is. He's diagnosed with a sickness that is unto death. He's not allowed to be around people, Sister Debbie. He's not. He has to yell unclean everywhere he goes. He's surely to die. But now he has some hope again, Brother Mike. And as he walks up to the man of God's house, I can imagine the hope that was overflowing his soul. He's thinking, this is my last chance. I got another chance. If I meet this prophet, Brother Levi, and he comes out and he declares and he yells and he jumps up and down and he smacks me on the forehead and he invokes his God in my life, he can heal me and I can have a second chance at life. I can only imagine the hope that must have been overflowing Naaman's mind. As he walked up to Elisha's house, he's standing outside the house with his horses and his chariots, and the prophet doesn't even give him the time of day. He doesn't even come out to meet him. I wish I had a nickel for everybody who walked into a church and said, they didn't shake my hand, I ain't never coming back. My God, how would you feel if you was Naaman? How would you feel? You done traveled all this way. You're a mighty man of valor. You got horses. You got chariots. You got people standing behind you. You are a mighty man. And the prophet don't even get off of his couch to come out and to greet you. My Lord, you talking about offense. How many know offense is the greatest thing that will drive you out of the church? Oh, yeah. It's the greatest tool the enemy has in his box is offense. Offense. Offense will hurt you. Offense will destroy you. Offense will run you out of God's house if you allow it to. And we see immediately that Naaman allows offense to get down in his heart and down in his spirit, Brother Eric. And he says, what, I'm not important enough that he can't even come out and greet me? Come on, I'm not saying that Elisha was justified in doing what he did. I believe we should treat everyone kindly. I believe we should love everybody in the house of God, everybody that walks through the door. We should shower them with so much love they can't wash it off of them. But let me tell you something, you can't be playing along with the enemy when it comes to offense. Sometimes the Lord's trying to sturdy you up a little bit. Sometimes the Lord's trying to strengthen you a little bit. Sometimes the Lord's trying to get your pride and your arrogance out of the way. And the Lord was doing exactly that for Naaman. Come on. Now, he's standing outside Elisha's house, his horses and chariots, and Elisha don't even come out to meet him. Instead, he sends a little lowly messenger. Now, I'm certain that the Lord was showing Naaman that if you want to receive your miracle, you got to get your pride out of the way. I'm certain that the Lord's telling us today, Brother David, if we want to receive what God has in store for us, we got to get our pride out of the way. Huh? So sometimes you got to go through some stuff you don't want to go through. Sometimes your walk with God will take you down into a low place. Sometimes you ain't going to understand where you're at, but God is preparing you for your next miracle. God is getting you ready. I'm sure it wasn't an easy thing for Naaman to do. And it's not an easy thing for us to do today. How many know that oftentimes God's plans will challenge our expectations? Yeah, we expect God to do certain things in certain ways. God's ways are much higher than our ways. And sometimes the way that God answers will challenge our expectations, Sister Lucinda. Sometimes the way that God brings things about in our life will challenge our walk with Him. It will challenge the way we see things. And I know it wasn't an easy thing for Naaman to do. And I know it's not an easy thing for us to do. And oftentimes God's plans will challenge us. But it'll always propel you into your next dimension in Christ. The prophet tells him to go wash in the dirtiest river around. Naaman gets offended. Naaman plays into the greatest tool that the enemy has in his box. Immediately gets offended. Man, this guy didn't even come out and greet me. Man, this guy sends a lowly messenger. Man, this guy wants me to go wash in a dirty river. Man, this guy ain't even going to come out and call down heaven on me. No, Naaman was playing into the tricks of the enemy. Wasn't an easy thing to do. The prophet gave him his instruction, and Naaman immediately gets offended and almost allows his anger to cause him to miss out on his miracle. How many know your anger will keep you from your miracle? Come on, I'm talking to some of you who grew up in a rough setting. I'm talking to some of you who've been hurt deeply. Your anger will keep you from receiving what God has in store for you. It almost cost Naaman his miracle. If you're not careful today, your flesh will cause you to miss your miracle. Yes, we should come to the Lord in faith believing. Yes, we should come to the Lord with expectancy in our heart. But let me tell you something. If God sends you on a detour down some dusty and windy road, he's doing it for a reason. He's doing it for a reason. You don't get to determine how you get there. All you got to know is you ask God for it. You can stand upon your faith that he's going to give it to you, but it ain't your decision to make on how you're going to arrive there. Sometimes God will send you this way. Sometimes God will send you this way. But nevertheless, God's always going to send you the best way. He's always going to send you the best way that will prepare you for your miracle. He's doing it for a reason, church. God has great plans. God has greater plans for us than we can even imagine. God has greater plans for us than we can even imagine. Let me tell you something. Questions may arise in our minds. Come on, our faith may wane at times. We might not understand what we're going through at times. Come on, but if we want to get rid of the stuff that's trying to destroy us, we got to learn to listen to God and we got to learn to be obedient to God. If you want to get rid of the stuff that's trying to kill you, you got to be willing to be obedient unto the Lord today. God has great plans for us. Let me tell you something. I don't want to be the one who's remembered that I died of leprosy. I want to be the one who's remembered I was no longer a leper. I want to be the one who was remembered he put his faith in God even when it wasn't convenient. He put his faith in God even when it made him uncomfortable. He put his faith in God even when he was going through the ringer. He put his faith in God when everybody turned their back on him. He put his faith in God and the Lord took everything out of his life that was trying to destroy him. I'm no longer a leper. Hallelujah. I want to be remembered as the one who was no longer a leper. Let me tell you something, church. If that means putting my pride aside, I'll put my pride aside. Come on. If that means going down some roads I don't want to go down, I'll go down the roads I don't want to go down. Come on, if that means obeying some unusual commands, he's God and I'm not. He knows what he's doing and I don't. I'm willing to obey his unusual commands. If he tells me to dip in a dirty river, Brother Tom, I'm going to go dip in a dirty river. If he sends out his servant to speak to me, at least he sent somebody to speak to me today. I don't want to be known as the one who died as a leper. I want to be known as the one who was no longer a leper. Come on, I want to be known as the one who is no longer a leper. Church, God's plans for your life will challenge your expectations. We got to understand today, my victory is only going to come if I'm willing to get out of my box. How many ever heard that terminology, get out of your box? Your box will restrain you. Your box will keep you from achieving. Your box will keep you from doing great things. I'm only going to get my miracle. I'm only going to get what God has in store for me is if I'm willing to get out of my box. Church, my victory is dependent upon my humility today. I got to humble myself before the Lord and he will lift me up. Any man that climbs up any other way is the same as a thief and a robber. I want to humble myself before God and let God lift me up and let God exalt me. My victory depends on my humility today. My victory depends on my willingness to submit. Ooh. You hear how quiet that got? Oh, yeah, your victory depends on it just as much as mine does. My victory depends on my willingness, Brother Jason, to submit. Submit to spiritual authority in my life. Submit to leaders in my life. Submit to the will of God in my life. How many know that God's will for your life ain't always your will for your life? But you got to submit your will to his way if you want God what God has in store for you. Your victory depends upon your willingness to submit today. My victory depends upon my obedience I must be willing, Sister Diane, to obey his every command. What are you going to do the next time the Lord speaks into your spirit and say, take that coat off of your back and give it to that man? You better be willing to listen to what God says. What are you going to do when the Lord says, they need groceries in your house, go give them some money? You better be willing to listen to what God says into your spirit and into your life. Your victory depends on your willingness to be obedient to God. Church, I don't want to be a leper anymore. I want my testimony to always be, I'm no longer a leper. God has transformed me. The Lord has turned my life around. Let me tell you something today. Miracles defy the laws of physics. Miracles defy the laws of physics. Miracles transcend the understanding of doctors. Miracles go beyond the natural, and miracles extend into the spiritual. You ain't ever going to get a true move of God trying to do it in your flesh. You're going to have to get out of your flesh. You're going to have to walk in the spirit. You're going to have to submit yourself to God. You're going to have to obey his every command. And you're going to have to realize you're going to have to get spiritual if you want to get what God has in store for you. Because miracles transcend this old flesh today. Miracles reach into the spiritual. Amen. Church, I don't want to be a leper anymore. Come on, we don't see these things nowadays because we have medicine to treat leprosy. Let me tell you something. There are many lepers in the church. Come on, there are people that they are getting ate up and they don't even realize they're getting ate up. There are people that are dying spiritually and they ain't even realizing that they're dying spiritually. Why? Because they're not willing to get their pride out of the way. They're not willing to humble themselves before God. They're not willing to submit themselves unto God. And they're not willing to say, Lord, it doesn't matter what you tell me to do, I will do it. If you want to get what God has in store for you, you got to get this stuff out of the way. Hallelujah. You got to get this stuff out of the way. Stand with me as the musicians come quickly. Church, if we want to get our miracle, we got to listen to the one who has the power to give it. Because we don't have the power to give it, Brother Carl. We don't have the power to give a miracle, Sister Gail. But God has the power to give a miracle. And if we want to get our miracle today, we got to be willing to listen to the one who has the power to give it. You know, sometimes God will use what we think is silly. He will. Sometimes God's going to ask you to get uncomfortable. God's going to send you to somebody and you're going to worry about whether they're going to receive you. God's going to give you a word to go give to somebody and you're going to say, man, they're going to think I'm crazy. I'd rather somebody think I'm crazy than defy my God today. I'd rather somebody think I'm nuttier than a fruitcake than defy my God today. I want the Lord to use me. I want the Lord to strengthen me. I want what God has in store for me. And I don't want to be known as a leper today. I want to be the one that people look at and say, the Lord has transformed his life. I want every one of you to be that same person today. I want this world to look at you and say, man, they've changed so much. I can see the blessings of God in their life. I can see God is working in their life. I want people to look at you and say, they are no longer a leper. They're no longer dying. They're no longer losing everything. They're no longer fading away. But I see the blessings of God in their life. Sometimes God will use what we think is silly or unusual. Church, when it comes to spiritual warfare, the best thing you can do is obey the one who knows the beginning from the end. Before he ever tells you to do it, he already knows what the end result will be. Before he ever sends you to somebody, he already knows, Sister Anna, whether they're going to receive you or whether they're going to reject you. But you know what? God will send you to people that will reject you just so you can experience rejection. Just so you can go through what Naaman went through, and the Lord can say, I'm getting your pride out of the way. I'm helping you to understand that that not everybody's going to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm helping prepare you for the miracle that I have in store from you. The Lord knows the beginning from the end, church. His ways are higher. His ways are higher. Man, there are some Naamans in this room today. My God, there are many Naamans in this room today. There are people in this room today. What was destroying you almost kept you from your blessing. What was eating you like a canker, it almost stole what God had in store for you. There are Naamans under the sound of my voice today. You almost missed it. You almost let your pride get in the way. You almost didn't make the journey to the prophet's house. You almost didn't trust the words of the little maid that spoke into your life and said, God can turn your life around. You almost didn't do it. There are Naamans in this room today. Come on. But today you got a testimony. Today you got a testimony. Today you're no longer known as a leper. You're known as the one who used to be, but you're no longer a leper. Today you're not dying on the inside. Today you're living on the inside. Today you're living the high life. Today you're a child of God. Today you're walking in His blessings. Today your tomorrow's brighter than your today. Today your greatest days are ahead. Why? Because the Lord got rid of the very thing that was destroying you. It was eating you. It was keeping you. Taking away your hope. Taking away your joy. There are Naamans in this room today. Come on. Your leprosy might be different than Naaman's was. Your leprosy might have been lust. Come on, your leprosy might have been anger. Your leprosy might have been childhood trauma. Your leprosy might have been broken relationships. Your leprosy might have been let down and disappointment, anxiety, or depression. Come on, your leprosy may be many things today, but the formula is still the same. You can repent of your sins. You can turn from the way that you were. You can be baptized in the name, say, in the saving name of Jesus Christ, and you can be filled with the Holy Ghost today. Come on, the Lord knows how to get rid of these things that are destroying us. Your leprosy might have been childhood trauma. Your leprosy might have been addiction or alcoholism or drug abuse. Your addiction might have been being cut deep by someone who was very close to you. Listen to me, Naaman. It almost got you, but it didn't. It almost stopped you, but it didn't. It almost stole from you, but it didn't. You're here today because the Lord said you're no longer going to be a leper. As long as you're willing to obey me and humble yourself before me and walk uprightly before me, the Lord can take away the things that seek to destroy you. It almost got me. But thanks be to God, there was a prophet in Israel. Thanks be to God, I'm no longer a leper. Would you lift your hands towards heaven all over this house? Close your eyes for the next few moments.